You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's happening, everybody? I enjoyed last night. I don't know about you. I think I was so curious as to how they were going to act after they won the game. First of all, I wasn't sure if they were going to win the game. Down by 10, and they were a little bit out of whack. That was fun. And, you know, to me, this is a perfect example. Really, this is a perfect example of how miserable society's become. And what I mean by that is, like, when this was first introduced, the concept. Now, if you've heard me, even going back to the national stuff, I've been very critical of the commissioner. I think he's soft, and I think that he's allowed the players to take over and run the league. And, you know, with all due respect, I just think that Adam Silver is more of a number two than a number one. Maybe a better way to say it, I never thought he could shine Stearns' shoes. I mean, it's not even close, right? But you got to give credit where it's due a little bit. And what I thought was initially a corny and a very contrived, you know, force-fed whatever, I've actually come to enjoy it. You know, I was going through the range of emotions here of how I felt about the cup. And again, the first one was, I'm not interested. This is ridiculous. This is corny. And then once I stopped being a little bit angry, I don't even know why I was angry over it. But once I stopped being a little bit angry and stopped resisting it, I then quickly pivoted to being apathetic. Oh, the NBA Cup, whatever. Who's playing? Are we in it? I mean, is this a regular season game? Is the court regular? Is the court purple? Is the court red? Is the court blue? What uniforms are we wearing? What the hell's, like, where are we at? Is this just a regular game against the Raptors, or does this actually mean something? So, but then in the semifinal, I got to admit, I started getting a little bit hooked. A little bit. And last night, I actually really enjoyed it to the point where I was obviously doing the St. John's game. Johnny's beat DePaul. I mean, you better beat DePaul. And they did. So first conference win for St. John's. And as the tip was at 7, so I think the Knicks started at 8:30. And as soon as I got in the car, and I checked on my phone at some point from Queens, and I'm like, you know what? I'm looking forward to probably have about an hour or so drive back to New Jersey. And I put on the Knicks game, and as I always do when I'm in the car, because I'm a Knicks fan, and I'm into it. Like, there was definitely a ratcheting up of intensity. There was definitely a buy-in by the players. You could tell by their reaction. So it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. And why I say that this is a pretty good reminder of how miserable we've become as a society. Like, are we really going to rant and rave on this station all day about the merits of hanging a banner or not? I mean, is this how infantile and how dumb, really, we've become? I have no interest in debating that. Now, I will say this. I was a little misled. I think many of us were. I saw Evan's tweet at some point. I think I saw it last night. We were mostly in Dover. I think it was last night, right? You saw that tweet from Evan about the banner. We were mostly under the, I guess, illusion that if you won the cup, you had to put the banner up. It was an NBA mandate. And that's where I was like, all right, a little resistance here. We're going to put that up there with the big fella and Red Holtzman. You know, come on. And Willis Reed and Frazier and all these other stars. No, I am Monroe, DeBuscher, Bradley. We can't do this. Cardaseca, Fish, Billy Joel, the great Ranger names and banners. No. But is that really worth being angry over? Like, I think I'm at a point now where if I like something, I'm in. If I don't like something, I'm not. Now, if something is truly offensive to me, I'm going to push back, and I'm going to push back strong. I'm going to let you know how I feel. But my advice to you is to understand that it's not a championship. It's more of a moment. It's more of a symbolism of a team that took it seriously and a team that's coming together a little bit, and I enjoyed it. It's fun watching Wemby. It's fun watching these games with a different sound from the, I mean, Ian's always great on the call, but that extra juice, that extra buzz, and the extra celebration. So, you know, is it a little overboard at midcourt with the confetti and the hats and the hoodies, champions, whatever, but I enjoyed it. Congrats to the Knicks, and hopefully it is a foreshadow of things to come. 888-808-1019, BTR on the Fan. I got a little Bellinger thing for you later, which we will get into, and that is exclusively a Yankee and a Met thing. But let's get to the Knicks. Adam's down in South Jersey on the Fan. Adam, what's happening?
Brandon, good morning, my brother. It is fitting that, you know, all those many, many years ago, the last call I made for years was to Mike and Dog before you came on the scene. And now here I am, what's going to be my last call to the Fan until I hear you again is to you. So I'm happy to talk to you today, my brother, and I'm happy to talk New York Knicks.
I appreciate that, buddy. Yeah, let's go. Let's chop it up, Knicks. Champs.
Yeah, listen, man. To me, what this is about is a couple of good things here for the Knicks, right? Number one, like you said, they're coming together as a team. They took it seriously, which meant to them it was a pressure situation. Tyler Kolek was dynamite last night. I just want to see more of this kid, Brandon, because this kid brings an energy. He runs the team well when Brunson's not on the floor, and even together at the end of the game with them playing with two ball handlers was dynamite. And I think that what this does for the Knicks is it shows them, if you put it together, you can do this. San Antonio beat Oklahoma City. That's nobody's fault but Oklahoma City's, right?
Yeah.
So there's a chance, because San Antonio's good. San Antonio could be the other team at the end if you get through the Eastern Conference. You know, while we all think, and it's all written in the book, that we think it's going to be Oklahoma City, that's not written in stone. It's hard to repeat. So the Knicks take this moment, and they celebrate a little bit. And I'm happy for them. And as a Knicks fan, I'm happy that they had a goal and they accomplished it.
Yeah.
That's important. You know what I mean?
I do.
That's important, man.
Listen, I've got a little feedback there, Adam. That's why I'm going to let you go. Thank you for making the call. And thank you for supporting us, being a fan of the show. Thank you very much. By the way, I am off tomorrow, but I am back on Friday. And that'll be the last full-time spot in the 10-2 spot before all the changes come. So, yeah, hey, listen, it's funny. One of the things that I've enjoyed most with you is talking Knicks. It was really good to get that spark back. You know, they started to get better when I was with Tiki. They really started to get better when me and Sal were together. So, and this goes back to, you know, the mid-2000s when I first got on New York radio and they were atrocious. That was Isaiah, and that was Marbury, and Eddie Curry, and Jerome James, and Q Rich, and Jamal, and Nate Dogg, and Balkman. My God. Some of those players that I mentioned were good, but it was an absolute circus disaster. And really what happened, in a lot of ways, is, you know, it's the Nick talk obviously just goes away. Kind of like the Jets and the Giants right now. Really, if you think about that, now, football is obviously much more popular than basketball, but, I mean, outside of playing the unkillable rant, which I'll play on Friday, I'll bust that out. I'm going to play it in its entirety so you guys can hear that coming through the speakers. I've actually never heard the whole thing. I've never heard that speech. I've seen clips, obviously. People have sent me stuff. I have never heard the whole thing, so I'll play it on Friday before I bounce. But, you know, you think about the popularity of the NFL. I got nothing to say about the Jets and the Giants. What am I going to say? And really, all those years, the Knicks were as down as the Jets and the Giants currently are. So if there's really nothing, and trust me, we've had the conversations. Dable, Shane, fire this guy. What do you do? Sit, Dart, protect him, play him, don't, Jets, whatever. Fire the DC. Do you move up to get Mendoza? Like, we've had the conversations, obviously. But there's an expiration on just getting on the air and saying, God, these guys suck. And that happened to the Knicks. And for a long time, and it was said. Yeah, it's funny, like, when I was first introduced to the Knicks by my dad, I remember watching the Knicks on Channel 9. And that was when, I would say this was about 80, definitely early 80s, because Bernard King was my first favorite Knick. And back then, the Knicks and the Rangers, the road games were on WOR Channel 9 TV. Same with wrestling, you know. And unless you had MSG, which I didn't get until probably 4 or 5 years later in the mid-80s, you didn't really get to watch any Knick or Ranger home games. And the point is that when I first fell in love with the Knicks were, I mean, they were wretched. There's a reason why they got the first overall pick in Patrick back in 85. I mean, outside of Bernard King, I had a lot of Rory Sparrows and Darryl Walkers and Ken the Animal Bannisters and Trent Tuckers and Louis Orr's and Louis, rest in peace. That was a rough team, man. That was a bad team to get behind. And then they popped, and then it was awesome, and then it was invisible, basically, for 15 years. So here we are. To me, I'm not going over the top, obviously. I'm not putting the banner next to the other ones, but I'm going to hang it somewhere. I mean, I think that they've earned that. And really, I got to tell you, just from a Nick evaluation point of view, I think anytime you can get more information on something, you have a better chance to make a smart, intelligent decision. And, you know, let's just say it was just a regular 82-game schedule, right? And last night was just, you know, a game against the Spurs or whomever else it might be. You know, there's not the intensity or the scrutiny or the focus or the pride that was demonstrated last night and in the Cup semifinals. And I say that, not to overstate it, but when you have heightened expectations and heightened visibility, to me, that's a better chance to get a read on your team. How do they respond to pressure? How do they look when there's, you know, some more eyeballs on you? And if I didn't like what I saw, and really, I should say Leon Rose, if Leon Rose didn't or doesn't, and how could he not now, but if he didn't like what he saw, well, maybe that's impetus to change, maybe accelerate pursuing a big trade, Giannis, something else. Maybe. I'm not even sure if this is the right move because I still think the Knicks need to do one more thing to win the championship, the real one. But at least now you got to see the Knicks in a competitive environment, as competitive as it gets in the regular season. And they did awesome. Honestly, it was a lot of fun. All right, 888-808-1019, BT on the Fan. Ryan's in Comac. What's happening, Ryan? How you doing today?
Hey, BT, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
I just wanted to talk about the banner. Listen, does the NBA Cup matter in the grand scheme of things? It matters to the players. I think it's great for the fans. The intensity in the games were really high. The whole banner thing, I mean, we have Atlantic Division banner. What does it mean to win the Atlantic Division?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, we have President's Trophy to the Rangers. What does that mean? Oh, we came in first in the regular season. Wow, we got wiped out in the first round. Big deal. So for the banner thing, you know, I'm going to ship a replica banner to Joe Beningo's house so he can hang it on his front lawn.
Right. Put it right next to the 17 gnomes who are probably on Joe's lawn, right? I know he collects those gnomes.
Exactly. So it's something, right? It was a great game. The players weren't sitting down the whole game, each bench, standing up, cheering. I love to see that for the players. It brings a little playoff intensity, gives the players a little experience, like, hey, this game means something. I mean, $500,000 to Tyler Kolek is a lot of money, man.
Oh, yeah.
He played a great game. He played his butt off, and he earned that check. So good for the kid. He got a little money. Again, is it an NBA title? No. But is it cool? Yeah, it's cool. It's adapted from the soccer model, you know, the FA Cup for the English Premier League. You know, it's not winning the league, but it's something, right? It's another title. It wins your money. And it's good for the sport. So I think Sal kind of swayed your opinion on the NBA Cup when he kept saying that it's stupid.
No, Ryan, nobody swayed my. I just didn't like it. I mean, I thought it was just too forced, honestly. But I'm allowed to evolve. Sal had nothing to do with it. I mean, Sal didn't think Mike Brown was the right guy. I liked Mike Brown. So, I mean, opinions are what they are. Listen, I think that anything that becomes more ingrained in the younger generation eventually is going to carry more merit and more weight. And just it's going to be processed differently than us, maybe, who initially were like, and again, I'm not going over the top here, but I'm happy that they won. And it's cool that they won. And it's fun to go out a champion. Dove, I'm going out a champion, man. Watch, going out of champion. The Johnnies will win the NCAA championship this year. The Knicks are already champions. Yanks and Mets better get going if they want to be champions. Jets and Giants have no hope at this point, but I am a champion. Nobody can take that. That is on my resume as he leaves FAN. Champion. No, but like, think about this. When the designated hitter was first introduced, 1973, Ron Blumberg, right? I can imagine the resistance there. People screaming from the top of the mountain, you know, from the lawns. Ah, oh, this is a disservice to the game. This is a disgrace. This is against history. What are we doing? And then look at us now. I mean, if you don't have a DH, pretty much like the Mets haven't had one for a long time, your offense is not where it needs to be. Same with, like, when the wild cards were first introduced. Wild cards, what is this? Ah, you really don't have to accomplish much and you're a playoff team? Yeah. But now it's ingrained in our sporting minds. Much like, you know, now my son fell asleep, but I recorded it for him. I want him to see, you know, Brunson and Towns at the Knicks with the confetti holding a trophy. And I don't think he's going to expect a parade, but I would imagine as he gets older and, you know, these other 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, 18, 22, 25-year-old NBA fans, etc., as it becomes more ingrained and more part of the DNA of the league, it's going to carry a little bit more juice, and they're going to add to it, and it's a good thing. Hey, we're talking about the NBA. I mean, think about that. I could have easily, if there's no NBA Cup, and the Knicks play the Raptors, the Heat, the Pacers, the Nets, anybody, and it's just a regular 1 out of 82 last night, I'm not starting the show with the Knicks, unless, God forbid, somebody got hurt. You know, it's back to, you know, Bellinger, Yankees, Mets, Hot Stove, you know, coming up with something interesting in the NFL, because Lord knows you got to be creative with these doormat teams that we got. But because the Knicks played, and even if they lost, I would have started the show with it. So that's about visibility, and that's a good thing. It empowers the younger fans, and it really empowers the league, I think. So I'm good with it now, after initially hating it. Bruce is in Wyckoff. Bruce on the Fan with BT. What's up, Bruce?
Go New York, go New York,
go!
Go New York, go New York, go! Success breeds success. That was the value of that game to me. But my question to you and the audience is, what's the rotation going to look like once Shamit, once McBride comes back? And the real question is, I don't think we win that game if kids is coach. Spread it out, hopefully, you know, Brunson win the game for us. That was a full team win.
Yeah.
You could see the difference. We do need some help on defense and blocking those threes.
Yeah.
We got to improve there, but offensively, we're not relying on Brunson to win the game. I want your opinion on
that. Bruce, it's a great point. Thank you very much, buddy. It talks about the evolution of this Knicks team. Now, Tom Thibodeau's a damn good coach, and we all have a tremendous amount of respect for Tom Thibodeau. But and I was on this early, the reason why I wanted the Knicks to move on from Tom Thibodeau last year was because this, to me, the growth, it was over. I didn't see any more growth as a coach. I saw somebody who was married to his ways, which, again, many of us are in many things, but you've got to evolve when the league evolves. And I could promise you last night that, you know, if Tom Thibodeau's coaching this game, if they're to this point, and they might be because they have talent, I can promise you Clarkson's not hitting those big threes. I can promise you Kolek's not playing big minutes. It's not happening. They're not on the court. And it's going to be a lot of, you're right, 37. 30. Now, they did minutes-wise, Brown upped it during the cup here, which I like. A little more emphasis on winning. Good. If we're playing for something, win it. Do your best to win. Compete. And you saw that competitive gene click in for the coach and for the team, obviously. But I just don't think that the roster would have been utilized the way it's been utilized thus far. And oh yeah, by the way, who's top scoring team of the Eastern Conference? That would be the Knicks at over 121 points a game. Not bad. Now, that's not to coronate Mike Brown. That's not to say that he's a home run hire. He's a good coach, and I always knew he was good. I do think he seems to fit this roster. Early on, it was a little, feeling out, maybe even a little resistance. Brunson said this the other day. He's like, we had to buy in, and it starts with me. And I get it. We've all been through this. The radio that I was used to doing was very different than, what Spike, who brought me here, what he basically demanded we do. Like, he had a very different template. And at first, I was like, this doesn't feel right. I don't know. Kind of feel my way around it. And so was he, and I think so was Sal. I think so was some of the other people at the station. It was a different approach. And then, you're like, all right, I either do this or I'm out. I mean, I'm out anyway. So it just doesn't really matter. I did it. I should have done it my way. Screw you. What's the difference? You're out. You're out. Go down swinging. I did. The point is, when something different is introduced, it doesn't happen overnight. And say this about this Knicks team. They are bought in. They are professional. They are obviously deep. They are obviously talented. They are obviously limited in a few spots. A little defense. We know about those two spots with the point guard and the center. But the Knicks have a professionalism that you got to respect because you watch them and you feel it, and it's obvious. So, good job. We're talking Knicks. We'll do a little Yanks and Mets later. BT on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. year, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Good Wednesday morning. The Knicks beat the Spurs. They win the Emirates NBA Cup last night. Yes, there was a celebration and a trophy and confetti and hats and shirts and all of that stuff. You know where we stand on it. It's not something that I hate, but it's not something that I think is all that important. Although what I think is great is the fact that they're on a winning streak. They're beating good teams. They played great last night. They had a fourth quarter that felt like a team that is headed towards really good things, closing out another good team. So all those things are positive, and I feel like Mike Brown has got this team exactly where he wants them at this point in the season. So all that's good. But no, we're not going to sit here and buy the NBA Cup hats and shirts, that's for sure. But this was a really good night for the Knicks. Unfortunately, your Rangers get shut out again at home, and I heard you right before we came on the air, and you sound terrible. So this is going to be an interesting couple of hours here, but I know that you're someone that loves a cupcake, and there was a cupcake waiting for you this morning, so we might have to eat one of those before 6:20. Yeah. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, all right. I'm doing okay. I'm fine. I mean, I got a little bit of a head cold, and I can fight through it. It's no big deal. And you know,
I heard you hack it in your office.
Yeah, so. I know. I was sneezing and coughing. Yeah, of course. But I'll be all right. It's fine. And yeah, I stayed up and I watched just the NBA Cup because the Rangers made me throw up, almost gave me the norovirus watching them again not score any goals at home.
Don't say it three times in a row. We might.
I know. And you want to talk about a GM that's coming under fire. The GM is Chris Drury of the New York Rangers. You know, this is ridiculous. This has gotten to a point where I think a lot of Ranger fans are extremely, extremely frustrated and pissed off. And I being one of them as well. You know, you expect better from players like this, especially with the reputations they have. But that's, you know, that's for later on. We can talk about that later on. But the Nick thing last night, here's the important thing about it. Guys that came off the bench, I mean, you know, Mitchell Robinson had 15 rebounds last night, and it felt like every time there was a missed shot on the offensive end of the glass, he was there, and he kept possessions going. And the other thing is, and we all know where the game changed, is when Jordan Clarkson came in and hit 2 3-pointers. Yep. And what I do really love about this whole thing is that this is a very likable team. I don't care what anybody, this is a really likable team. They do play well. They play well together. And you know, Jalen Brunson, after game's over, he's given all the credit to OG and to Mitchell Robinson and to Tyler Kolek and Jordan Clarkson. I mean, because those are the guys that really helped the fourth quarter turnaround. And it is, there's something to be said about winning a game that way and then seeing the players react the way they did.
Yeah, I mean, and they stuff like this, I feel like, can...
Yeah, that was competitive last night.
Yeah, no, of course it was. And they wanted to win. Both teams really wanted to win in a regular season game that wouldn't normally have mattered. And that's the kind of the whole point of this NBA Cup. But yeah, I mean, the camaraderie is there, no doubt. I mean, it's deep, of course, with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and some of the guys that have been here. And I feel like they are closer now than ever. And yeah, all the guys that he mentioned last night, Jalen Brunson, 100%, he had to mention. But I also think that the, you know, and I've been as critical of this guy as anybody in New York sports, but I think that the Spurs really tried to exploit Karl Anthony Towns last night, and he didn't really let it happen. Like, I know he didn't have a great line, and he wasn't one of the guys that you'd look at the end of this thing and say, man, like, they wouldn't have won without Karl Anthony Towns. But if you look deeper than just the box score last night, I really felt like the Spurs were saying, hey, Karl Anthony Towns is a liability on the defensive end. We're going to frustrate him. We're going to get him back on his heels, and we're going to dominate in that way. And he didn't let that happen. He had one little hiccup with a offensive foul and another bad foul on the other end, but then that was really it. And I was proud of him that when they were attacking him, he didn't fold. So, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of really good things that you like. And, you know, and by the way, you know, right now, this is the vision that Mike Brown and Leon Rose had when Mike Brown came in here. Now, I know that Mike Brown wasn't the first choice, but once they settled on him, this is what they were looking for, was this. more efficiency on offense, a little bit better defense, using the bench more, going out there and getting guys like Jordan Clarkson to help out that bench and beating the best teams in the NBA. Yeah, and now it feels great.
You know, I have to say that, you know, I found myself really wanting them to win. I know the cup thing and the banner thing and all this other crap is for another day, but I have to say I was watching this last night, and I felt really good after the game was over. Like, wow, these guys really, you know, put their effort into it, and the bench got involved. And, you know, it was very satisfying, just like it was last year beating the Celtics in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Very satisfying. And to see them play the way they're playing, and to know that Brunson didn't have his best game last night. I mean, this was probably, if you gave Brunson a B for last night's performance as opposed to some of the A pluses we've given him.
Sure.
And the support off the bench. I mean, God, that's exactly what you want. I mean, I don't know. Normally we come in here and, like, I started the show with a negative about the Rangers, but this is the team now that we all have to rally behind if we want to have some good feelings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you expect them to be in the Eastern Conference final again. I mean, and obviously all of this is the caveat of staying as healthy as possible, which is another thing that reminds me I have to talk about, but with Karl-Anthony Towns. But you expect them to be back in the Eastern Conference finals. Obviously, the Pistons have had a great year. They got a better record than the Knicks by a couple games right now. But still, you would feel like the Knicks have been there. They beat the Pistons last year. They've got more experience. And, you know, going to the NBA Finals was the goal. Rick Pitino said it on our airwaves right after Tibbs was fired and Mike Brown was hired, that this will be the most pressure that a Knicks head coach has ever had in the history of the organization, because in year one, he has to take them to the NBA Finals. So you feel like they're in a great spot to do that, and it should be a great winter and spring for them. But, you know, of course, we see this again. Now he leaves the game for a little bit and comes back, but Karl-Anthony Towns left because of more calf tightness and then came back in. So we've seen, how many times have we seen this in the NBA with the calf? Yep. And whether you love Cat, hate him, think he should be traded or not, this guy goes down with an Achilles injury, then forget about all of it.
You're screwed, right.
So that, just manage that thing. Like, and they should know. I mean, I'm sitting here talking about it. You know, the trainers should know. These guys should know. It's just, there's been such a rash of these things that we have seen for other teams, especially in the Eastern Conference with the Celtics and the Pacers that have opened the door up for the Knicks this year. You don't want them to now open the door up for another team because they lost their guy because they didn't manage his calf thing, and it also turned into an Achilles.
What was that?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Hopefully it's not popping of an Achilles.
Yeah, I, you know, we got a long way to go, that's for sure. And again, like, I think what the NBA wanted to get out of this cup play thing, at least they got it in these last two games. Like, you could see it in the semifinal games that they were really, you know, going after each other. And last night I felt the same way. I felt like, you know, it was a really just back and forth game. It was a little frustrating in the third quarter when the Knicks were falling behind. And then all of a sudden, the most unlikely of characters come off the bench, and the next thing you know, the whole game gets turned on its head.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I mean, like, I didn't know what I was watching. I'm like, wow, the guys are coming off the bench hitting threes. What do you know?
Well, that
playing
was
defense. And by the way, Mitchell Robinson, you know, you can say whatever you want about Wembanyama. I mean, he is a stick. I don't know how he's going to make it. He's got to put on like another 20 pounds or something.
Yeah, well, I think he will. I mean, he's certainly gotten bigger since his rookie year.
You could just push him right out of the way, though.
Yeah, I mean, but still, I mean, the guy is, he in another year or two, he might be absolutely unstoppable. I mean, he came into the league at 18 years old. So I think he, right now, yes, you can still push him around. And Mitchell Robinson handled him great. And I was reminded that, you know, that they brought up, you know, the first ever game that he had at the Garden, Mitchell Robinson, you know, it was like, oh, here comes Victor Wembanyama to the Garden. And Mitchell Robinson sort of muted him in that game, too. So, you know, he does it again in this game. And then, you know, Mitch being healthy and doing what he did like last night is just so critical to this team. And I had had it with him because he was never around.
He's always hurt. Yeah.
But he came back and was so dominant and so good for them in the postseason last year that I think he proved to everybody, the fan base and the front office and everybody else, that he needs to be here, that they need him to win a championship. And in a game like this and a performance like that, I mean, it proves that.
Well,
point.
He does all the dirty work.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and he can run with the team. He can keep up the players, but he does all the dirty work. He's the guy. He's not about scoring a ton of points. He's about getting rebounds and playing defense. And, you know, that is so vital, especially against a guy like Wembanyama. So anybody that they have that they're going to be going against that's going to have some size in there, you know, he's a beast. He's one of the better defenders at his size in the league. So I don't know, man. I had a source of pride last night. I don't know if that was weird or not.
No, it's not weird at all.
You know, I was really pissed off because the Rangers got shut out again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this team, you know, where's the heart? What are we doing? And I just keep hearing the same crap after every game. But anyway, the Nick thing, though, was like a really, like, a genuinely, like, into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing that we turn to the Knicks for pride and winning and happiness.
Thank God.
Right? I mean, how many years have we said that they were the worst of the worst, and now that's the team we turn to say, hey, I'm proud of that group. They're likable. They're playing hard. They've got everything. Now, can they make it out of the East and healthy and then go and beat the Oklahoma City Thunder? We'll find out. But, I mean, this is the closest they've been to a championship team in a very long time. So
I think the Spurs thought that this was going to be a walkover because they beat OKC. I was reading some of the Spurs stuff going into it, and they were so, like, they felt like they had won it because they beat OKC, because OKC has been so good this year and so dominating. And it's you win one game and you're going to the finals. You know, it's like the,
NCAA March Madness. Tournament, yeah.
It's like March Madness. So I just felt like they thought this was going to be, like, we got this.
Yeah, and you know there's a camaraderie on this team that I think is amazing, and not every team has. And the fact that it's led by Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, and I don't know if you saw this last night, but it was very funny. So, and if you followed it on X later on, and this happened, you know, late at night, so I saw it this morning. But as they're celebrating, you know, Josh Hart does the oil check on Jalen Brunson.
Oh, he does. Okay.
So they're celebrating. You should see this video, right? So, like, Jalen Brunson's got his back turned, and they, like, have the cup up in the air. Yeah. And then Josh Hart goes behind him with the thumb.
Yeah.
And then right into the tuck is, like, Pat Boyle told us about the oil check. And then Jalen Brunson turns around, like, what the hell, right? So then Josh Hart, he sees that everybody's posting this. And he writes first, he goes, damn, in 4K and everything. And then after that, he goes, it was AI, which it clearly wasn't, which is what people will say when they're caught doing things that they don't want to do.
Right.
But it clearly wasn't. It was the video. So that's something. See, you're laughing about it, right? Yes. Because you've been in locker rooms.
Yeah, those guys are at each other's throat all the time. And I just think that Josh Hart is like, he just torments Brunson. He's just tormenting him all the time.
Yeah, I mean, in a way that they love. Like, one of those good-natured ball-busting things. I mean, we all have a buddy or two like that, that no matter what you say about each other, it never crosses the line because you know that it's all good-intended stuff. So after I see this, and then, you know, I was reminded of this video that I sent you not that long ago that has to do with these, like, kind of odd male rituals in locker rooms that keep teams together. Now, this is not going to make sense to a lot of people. It's probably going to make sense to you. I mean, I spent 5 years playing football with meatheads. You spent 25 years, whatever, you know. But in this video, and then here's me weaving hockey into this conversation, but this video that I'm watching.
But it's golf and hockey.
It's a video I'm watching, and then it has to do with the Knicks. So Paul Bissonnette is talking about the things that he used to do. He was a meathead hockey player, as people don't know, and he's also on, you know, broadcast now doing studio work.
He also does Spit and Chicklets.
Spit and Chicklets. So it's a video with Spit and Chicklets. So it's Ryan Whitney. And it's Keith Yandel, Yandel in the Wind, and it's Bissonnette. And they're actually playing with Paige Sporanek, so it makes it even more awkward that he's talking about these things.
Yes.
So he's talking about some of the things that they did, like camaraderie things that they did on the teams that won the most. And one of them was a P-bomb that he would do.
Yeah.
And that had to do with what he would call his foursy.
Yes, you could
kind of figure it out, maybe. I don't want to go too in-depth with that. But
just go find it on X.
Right. And then also he talked about a mangina was a thing that he talked about that they did.
Saw many of those.
And then also a helicopter male chicken.
Yes, saw plenty of those too.
Yeah, so these are the things that they would do, and then
we're children.
Yeah, right. I mean, but here I'm getting to a point, and he also said that during that year where they had the most success, if he was a healthy scratch or just a scratch, he would wear a suit up in the press box, but he'd take that suit off and then go shower with his teammates afterward because of the camaraderie.
Yes.
And they felt like that type of stuff is what made them so tight and then having a great season that they had. So when I see this oil check from Josh Hart to Jalen Brunson, I immediately thought, like, these guys, I mean, they're as tight as humans can be in wearing the same uniform.
They're connected.
And even though it's really weird that it's a thumb and a butt, like, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, but it is.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
But jokes aside, I want to be real for a second. No making fun, no being a jackass, no mocking. The New York Knicks are really good. And I think we knew that coming into the season, but I think sometimes you need to sit back and watch them. And they have now played 25 or 26 games, however you want to define it. They are 18-7. They won the NBA Cup last night in impressive fashion against a really deep, good young team in the San Antonio Spurs. And I can say this, the New York Knicks legitimately can win an NBA championship. And I don't think I would have said that a year and a half ago for a myriad of reasons, but I firmly say that today. And I feel even more reinforced today than I did 3 months ago that they are the best team in the Eastern Conference. And I think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference by a lot.
And I think they're that for a myriad of reasons. Their ability to destroy you on the offensive glass has no bounds. The San Antonio Spurs are the best defensive rebounding team in the league. Did that matter last night? This head coach has shown you something Tom Thibodeau would never do. If Tyler Kolek is playing well, he's going to ride him. If Jordan Clarkson is playing well, he's going to ride him. Mitchell Robinson, same thing. But ultimately, and this can't necessarily be defined by a stat, but you can know it by the eye test. Jalen Brunson's better today than he even was a year ago.
Yeah.
And when you put it all together in one tight bowl, we could debate the cup and the banners and all the distractions. But here are the facts, and Tommy knows this. This is coming from someone who is pained to admit it. The New York Knicks legitimately won an NBA championship. And if you didn't think it 3 months ago, it's about time you acknowledge it.
Yeah, look, you said the word, they're a good team. They're the best team in the East. I think above anything else, what you highlighted there is so true and was really paramount last night in a game that ended up being a lot of fun and a game that you could tell meant a lot in terms of the competitive sweepstakes. But, like, they're a much better version, not just a better version than the last couple of years. And I think last night was a reminder. The Knicks actually had a really good offseason, starting with bringing Mike Brown in for all those reasons you said. He will ride the hot hands. Jordan Clarkson is a difference maker off the bench. Kolek, as you mentioned, and whoever the hot hand is, they're going to play. And look, when you look at the Knicks teams and how they ended up having that war of attrition catch up with them the last couple years, it also was a matter of a team game planning in a seven-game series and saying, we know they're basically going to play six guys at us. How do we match up with them? And now the constant minutes and the different waves in which they throw guys at you keeps guys like Jalen Brunson at times a little fresher, too. They are just molded in a much different way, in a much deeper way, and that is the kind of basketball team, when you look at the way the Thunder play with how deep their bench is, that will allow you to get through these rounds in the postseason without feeling like you're hampered by an injury or feeling like you're going to run guys into the ground. And I think that was the biggest difference last night, as everybody really, really was locked in on the Knicks and paying attention to the difference in this roster and the difference in Mike Brown, and it's paramount.
Do you think Tom Thibodeau plays Tyler Kolek big minutes in the fourth quarter?
No.
And I don't mean to knock Tom Thibodeau, but we are seeing the differences, and we're seeing why this move needed to be made. And here's the other thing, and it's very funny that we're having this discussion, because I remember back in March when talking about the Yankees, I would say to Sean over and over again, listen, you guys are as good as any team in the American League. And you would take it as a demeaning of the league, in which I said, well, look at everybody else. It's about your competition. And you would always bring up the Dodgers. And I would tell you, don't worry about the Dodgers. If you can get to a World Series, the Dodgers could be picked off. They may be hit by injuries. You don't know. You just have to worry about your league. The reason I bring that up is for all the Knicks fans out there who say, Evan, those are nice things that you're saying, but the Thunder, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs and any Western Conference team you want to bring up, but obviously it's the Thunder, they don't mean anything right now. It is about getting out of the East and reevaluating things in June.
Right.
And giving yourself the chance, the puncher's chance, yes, against a team in Oklahoma City that is better than the New York Knicks. And quite frankly, that is the only team in the NBA I can definitively tell you is better than the New York Knicks. The Thunder. That's it. That's the list. We can debate Denver. We can debate San Antonio, who's only getting better and better. But that's it.
So you're right.
I feel similar to what we talked about with the Yankees, and we'll get into the competition in the Eastern Conference because this is a big part of it. Just get to the finals and take your puncher's chance against, yes, an Oklahoma City team that may be historic. But outside of that, I ain't scared if I'm a Knicks fan of any of these other teams. Yeah. You've got the star power. You have the bench. You have now the experienced head coach who's been there before.
Yeah.
Like, forget banners and cups. Forget it. It's all a distraction from the reality. This team legitimately going to an NBA championship.
And resiliency. When you see what Wembanyama's doing to them last night, and just, I mean, that game could have escaped from them at that end of that third quarter. It never did.
Dude, I thought it could have escaped them the first three quarters of the game. There were moments watching this game where I thought the Knicks should have been down by 15.
Yeah.
And they hung in there. And that's kind of the trick. Like, hang in there.
Yep.
And then in the fourth quarter, go to work, which is exactly what they did.
Absolutely. And that was huge for them. But look, if you're worried about what I worried about with the Yankees and Dodgers, I do think the sport is a little different. Just ask Toronto Raptor fans what they would have said about this time that year when thinking about the Golden State Warriors and a dream of winning a finals. How'd that work out?
Well, it was an injury.
That's it.
No, and I get that. And also,
And I want to explain this to Jalen Brunson, because I love Jalen Brunson. I respect Jalen Brunson. I don't know if I love him. You know what I mean? And when I say to you into a microphone, and Tommy, be the guinea pig over here, because I know that Sean had an issue with it last year. If I look into your eyes and say, hey, I think the Knicks are the best team in the Eastern Conference, because quite frankly, I don't think the Eastern Conference is that good. Are you offended by that comment?
Nope. Not at all.
Good. You shouldn't be.
A, it's a fact. And B, I don't care what the competition is. All I care about is the facts, and that is that the Knicks are the best team in the East.
I think you have a very healthy attitude. And I want to make this clear, because when it comes from me, it sounds like I'm demeaning. I am not. The Eastern Conference is not that good. And yes, does that help the Knicks in being far and away the best team in the East? Absolutely. I could also tell you from experience that my only experience of seeing my team in the NBA Finals came from an Eastern Conference that was quite frankly worse than the Eastern Conference you're even in right now. Yeah. And I have no regrets. Zero. Okay? So saying that is not an insult. But I want you to listen to Jalen Brunson. Because Jalen Brunson kind of disagrees with Tommy. He was a little offended by the fact that people continue to say the Eastern Conference is wide open. And he takes issue with it. Here is the King of New York. Because he does have a championship, unlike the other one. Here is the King of New York, Jalen Brunson, reacting, kind of upset a little bit at the rhetoric that the East is wide open.
Yeah, the conversation about the East being wide open, I'm not a fan of that. I think there's too many great teams and great players, regardless of who's out, that are still competing. And so you don't take anyone lightly. You don't take anyone for granted. You go out there and do what you got to do every single night. And so the East is it's a lot better than people think, and it's a grind every night.
So there's a couple things there. A few things I agree with Jalen about. One thing I don't. Number one, when he says the East isn't wide open, he's right. You're clearly the favorites. So I'm going to put you guys over. But it's not a great conference. And I don't know if that's a competitive thing, like where you have to remind everyone, no, man, it's better than people think. But
dude, that's a different saying. It is better than people think, but it doesn't make it a great conference.
But it's not better than people think. It's not that good, and that's okay. Like, I don't understand why this has to be an offensive thing. Like, the Detroit Pistons are 21-5. Right. I don't ignore their record. They are not that good, quite frankly. Okay. They're not as good as the Knicks. I'm sorry.
But where we were in August, September, when training camps were opening, we thought this was the Knicks, the Cavs, and nobody else. Now, I still think it pretty much is that, but you have to give credit to a team like the Pistons. Like, that does extend the conference a little bit.
If you want to give them credit, I give them credit for being 21-5, but if you want to overrate them being 21-5, does that mean you're going to underrate Cleveland being 15-12?
Well, I guess the difference
is Cleveland's clearly better than that.
Evan, this isn't going to be the Kansas City Royals in the wild card round, is my point. This is going to be, I think there will be some grind series for the Knicks. That ultimately, they will be the better team and win.
Well, I think the Pistons are the kind of team that'll punch you in the face, but if things align the way they are lit right now, with Detroit being the one and Knicks being the two, I'd actually put a couple of shekels that you'll never see the Pistons, that they'll probably get beat either in the first or second round, because things can happen along the way. But look at the rest of this conference. Like, I like Toronto. I think Orlando is growing. Boston is still without Jason Tatum. Yes, the Sixers are getting glimpses of their old veterans looking like stars, but it's not that good of a conference. So I don't know if that's Jalen Brunson trying to build up the competition the way Lou Holtz would when he would talk about Notre Dame playing Appalachian State. But there's nothing to be offended by
when
you say the East isn't that good. And it's not wide open. The Knicks, to me, are heavy favorites. They're a lot better than any of these teams in this conference. And sure, injuries could derail it. Weird things can happen. But assuming nothing major happens, you're the team to beat. And you're battle-tested. That's the other thing. Detroit had their first battle last year. They learned from you guys. Good for them. The Magic have had some battles. Mm-hmm. But nobody is as battle-tested as the New York Knicks, as Josh Hart, as Jalen Brunson, as Karl-Anthony Towns, as now Mikal Bridges. So when you factor that in too, and you factor in the experience that they have and the talent that they have, they are heavy favorites to come out of the East, and nothing that's happened over the first 25 games should change anyone's view on that.
Right. You also have a looming, does Tatum play in the playoffs with Boston? They would have that sandpaper on him too. I know that's way down the road.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Sandpaper on them?
Sandpaper means like you have the warts of playing in these playoff series, battle tested.
Yeah, no, I think the Celtics do, but you're still talking about someone coming off of such a major injury.
I'm just saying.
This isn't a video game where we could just assume Jason Tatum is Jason Tatum.
I understand. It's not a video game where somebody has a punctured lung and goes down forever.
Yeah, that happened in my son's NBA 2K.
That's just another lurking giant in there. I'm just showing you evidence that this conference isn't as easy as you think, but the Knicks should still prevail through it.
What would scare you the most, Tommy? And the word scare is probably not the appropriate word. What team would you look at? And again, we're 26 games into the year. We have a lot of time. You haven't even played the Pistons yet, so we're going to see it. But is there a team that you look at and say, all right, they're going to give us the most trouble?
Okay, so outside of the Knicks, I don't think there's a great team in the conference, but I do think every other team in the playoff picture right now is a good team. A lot of hard hat teams. It's the Celtics. They've lost a lot of key players, Horford, KP, Cornette, winners, so they're not as great as they once were, and we don't know what Tatum's going to be, but still playing the Boston Celtics with all that history with Tatum, with Brown, that would be the team that would give me the most, you know, sleepless nights where, oh boy, this could be a tough series. Detroit maybe second. I'm going to throw something out there, because Evan said this about the Yankees a lot with Aaron Boone. I think the Knicks have to have the one seed. I think they have to have home court throughout. So far this year, they are dynamite at home, and they've been shaky on the road.
Yeah.
Shaky. Now, maybe that's just something in these first couple of months. Maybe it doesn't carry over the whole rest of the year. Because I've talked to a lot of my friends who are like, I don't care if I'm the third seed, the fourth seed. No. I smell blood. I smell the NBA Finals. I want the one seed. I want home court throughout. The Knicks have lost one game at home all year. No matter what the scenario is, they would have home court throughout. So, to me, that's a top priority. And I think that should be the goal here, is to get the one seed.
It should definitely be the goal. Like, I'm not going to disagree with you about that. And you guys have been so good at Madison Square Garden that having that advantage going into the postseason would make you even stronger. But I don't look at it as, if they don't get it, my confidence would be hit. Because I think they've shown you, certainly in the postseason last year, they can win in your building. They can win in your building. Like, I'm not afraid of going to Detroit
or Cleveland
to win a big game five or a big game seven.
Yeah.
Like, that would not scare me. I get your point, though. Like, when push comes to shove, if you're two games back, right now they're 2.5 back at Detroit, do I want the one seed? Sure. I mean, coming to Madison Square Garden ain't easy either. But even last year, like, there's so many memories of home road meaning so little. Like, I think back to the way you guys rallied in Boston. I think back to the way the Pacers rallied on you.
Yeah,
Madison Square Garden.
The Knicks were better on the road last year than they were at home. But so far this year, they've been great at home. Now, we'll see if that carries through for the rest of the season. Maybe I'll change my opinion on this if it changes. You know what I mean? It levels out. But right now, at home, they could beat anybody. On the road, they've had bad losses. They've been shaky. So I'd rather have the one seed other than the other seed.
What I really like about this team, and I use the word like in a weird way, I like as an IBO about your team, is that I feel like Jalen Brunson, every single year, like wine, is getting better and getting craftier and getting more impossible to defend.
Yeah.
It feels that way watching him every single night.
Well, that's where experience matters in big games.
Yes. And I think in Jalen's case, I think it's just going to the lab all summer. Like, he comes out of the lab every summer and he gets better and better. Mm-hmm. Josh Hart right now, and I know that early in this season he kind of had issues with the whole Mike Brown thing coming off the bench, buying in was tough. Right now Josh Hart is shooting the basketball with a stupid amount of confidence.
And started the year banged up, too. He looks healthier now.
No question about that. You've also got a bench now, and we didn't even see Deuce, who's out right now, and Landry Shamet, who's out right now, but a bench that's developing before your eyes. The mix of a veteran like Jordan Clarkson and Tyler Kolek, who's getting big minutes, and I thought played his best game as a pro yesterday.
He did.
And you have a head coach that I think is adaptable to what's happening around him. And so when you just measure everything, it is December, and I always warn everyone, so much can change between now and April and now and May. But sitting there last night, not knowing how I'd feel watching the NBA Cup, my biggest takeaway is not about if the trophy matters or if the banner matters. It's that this is a really freaking good basketball team. And maybe we take it for granted for the next few months because it's a long road to the postseason. But they've got all the ingredients to win an NBA championship. And that pains me to say.
Yeah.
So whether the banner and the cup and everything that comes with it matters, here's what I know. For the first time in a very long time, there's a legitimate chance that all those debates may not matter because we're sitting here in June talking about the real thing. That's my takeaway, watching even the fourth quarter of that game. Now, the Spurs aren't the Thunder, But they're stiff competition.
They are.
And the New York Knicks look like the battle-tested, more veteran team, which they are, in taking that game away in the fourth quarter. And they got a legitimate chance to win it all. Say it out loud, Sean. I've said it. The New York Knicks can win it all.
The New York Knicks can win it all.
Now, Tommy, say it with enthusiasm.
It's Knicks in 26. The Knicks are going to win it all.
I didn't say they're going to win it all. I said they could win it all.
And just one request, NBA gods. If the Knicks are going to win it all, please let that game occur during a night the Yankees don't play and we have wide open airwaves on WFAN.
Well, no, we don't want that. No, we don't want that. No.
Please,
no, no.
NBA gods.
Scratch that from the record, NBA gods. We need a Yankee game. Actually, yeah, give me an 8 o'clock start time in Minnesota. Perfect.
Now, the reason Sean brings that up is starting on January 5th, Tommy Lugauer is hosting a show here on the Fan at Nights called After Hours. And if the Knicks are playing a postseason game and the Yankees are not playing a game, he's on the radio as the Knicks are playing. I look at that as a great opportunity.
Loogie!
You get to live watch an NBA Finals game.
Tommy. Yeah. I'm going to regret doing this. If you don't once mention that this is the first time a cup has been won in New York since 1994 today, if you accept this, if the Knicks are playing for an NBA championship on an open night, I'll allow you to switch jobs with me, and you can immediately take over for me the moment they end and win, so you could be the first voice on after they win.
So you would switch with me, and I would work the midday?
So you don't have to stress about watching that game while on the air.
Well, I'm going to be at the game, too.
Okay.
So that will be very
as
helpful.
As long as
me.
You don't poke at the Rangers with that stupid cup
I would
line,
never
I would
say anything like the Knicks are the team most recently to win a cup in Madison Square Garden. I would never say anything like if you look at the teams that played at the Garden who's won a cup in the last 10 years would be the
it's
Knicks.
Too late.
Which team at Madison Square Garden has won a cup in this century would be the Knicks?
You're doing the Jet Roberts when he wants money. I'm out.
I was just giving examples. So don't say any of those things.
Nope.
Okay.
I can definitively tell you 1,000% that tonight, when the New York Knicks take on the San Antonio Spurs in the finals of the NBA Cup, there is no requirement for the Knicks to put up a banner.
Wow.
I was under the assumption that there was. I asked somebody who would know, and they are impeccable. Basically, I asked the league, and the league has said, unless they're going to change their mind, it is up to the team. So when the Lakers put that banner up, that was up to them. Now, was it strongly encouraged? Because I think sometimes there are word games being played here. Like, yes, we're not requiring it, but are we going to make a phone call and say, hey, it would really help us and it would be really good for the league for you to do this? Yeah, I think that probably happens.
Wow.
But the Lakers and the Bucks, who both have won previous NBA Cups, were not forced to put a banner up. They decided to do it on their own. So I've already gone to social media and asked the Knicks fans, what do you want to do about this? Before I give you the results, Tommy, if you win tonight, do you want a banner or do you not want a banner?
I've wrestled with this one for the last couple of days because I think that on one hand, it's a nice achievement and you want to honor that achievement. And I've heard a lot of people screaming about, oh, you can't hang a banner. It's awful. I don't have a strong take as far as it would be a disgrace if they hung the banner, but I personally would not hang it. I would not. Considering the fact that the team hasn't won a championship in decades upon decades, I would not. Now, if they win the title this year and they want to put both banners up, I could live with something like that, but I'm not hanging a banner for winning the NBA Cup.
Would you make fun of Tommy if the Knicks hung a banner?
Can two things be true here? I would absolutely make fun of Tommy and every single Knicks fan I know. In fact, that would be the one Knicks game I would consider reaching in my own pocket to get tickets for the night they raise the banner. Now, I assume you raise a banner, we're going to do something pregame, and you know we're going to put the banner up, and I will laugh my ass off and I will make fun of him. However, they should hang the banner.
They should.
I've changed on this. And even me as a Nets fan, if that putrid franchise were to ever appear in this moment, as much as I wouldn't want any part of it, if they did pull it off and win it, I believe also they should hang the banner. And just hear me out. I think this in-season tournament, I haven't hid this, most people thought it is pathetically embarrassing that Adam Silver has made basically a mockery of trying to make this sport European soccer. But the banner's not for us. The banner's not for Jalen Brunson. You know, there's a 12-year-old kid that's going to sit down and watch this game tonight where maybe in 20 years, this in-season tournament does mean something to a generation of people. And then when you look up at Madison Square Garden, you were the 12-year-old kid that watched them win the NBA Cup tonight. It's not about the 40-year-old men who have lived in an NBA world where this didn't exist.
I have a compromise.
All right.
Now, the Knicks don't do this. I know the Nets do. But I think you'll be open to this change. If you go to Barclays Center, you know the division championships? There are banners for that. The Knicks actually have an Atlantic Division banner up there. I think the Nets have made it. Boy, by the way, I go to Brooklyn all the time. Now I'm not even sure if they do this. I know the Mets have done this. So maybe I'll use the Mets as an example. There is one banner at Citi Field that commemorates each of the NL East division championships.
Right, and one for every wild card.
And one banner for the wild card victories.
Yeah.
It's one banner. And then the World Series and the pennants have their own banner.
Correct.
Okay. What I would do if I'm the Knicks and I win a championship tonight, that sounds weird, I win an NBA Cup tonight, is first of all, I would take down these division banners. It's stupid. I would make one banner. We'll call it the nice little accomplishment banner. And on that banner would write all your division titles and the NBA Cup. So it would be a part of one banner that would already exist. Does that make sense? And isn't that fair? Because then you really can't mock it. It's not just one banner for the NBA Cup. It's a banner. And I'm pretty sure the Nets did change this to where they have one banner for their Atlantic Division titles, which isn't a lot. It's only a couple. But it's one banner. So you're just tacking something on to a pre-existing banner. Your thoughts?
I like it.
Okay, yeah. I like it. I think that maybe this is because it's recency bias. I was in the building three nights ago at Madison Square Garden. For two franchises that have accomplished basically nothing for 25, 30, 40 years, there are way too many banners hanging in Madison Square Garden.
Barclays Center has a Biggie Smalls banner.
I know.
A Jay-Z banner.
Right, and a COVID mask banner.
And a COVID mask banner. Well, that's for the essential workers.
The essential workers.
Don't mock the essential workers.
By the way, I'm
kind of being a jerk right now.
No, I'm sure if you polled essential workers, they would even look up and go, I don't think I need the banner in the Nets arena. But that's neither here nor there.
The hapless Nets.
You look up, and to the left and to the right, there's a million Knicks and Rangers banners. It's just too much. So I said to say, I like your idea. However, if you do that for the Knicks, and I only say this because they are owned by the same person and company, you can't have like seven Knicks banners come down in favor of one banner encompassing everything and have the Rangers look more accomplished than the Knicks up there at the same time.
No, I think it's the same thing. I think
you got to take down some Ranger banners too.
I think when you win a division in the NBA or even in hockey, like you don't need its own banner.
We don't need the regular season champion banner the Rangers put up 2 years ago.
No, I agree with you. I think those are the ones that should just have one banner. Like, the championship and getting to the finals or World Series, fair game. The Mets, I think the Mets finally do it right. Like, it's just up there as the wild card. They don't have a 2016 and 2022 wild card banner. It's one banner.
Right.
Talking about their wild cards. Cool.
Right.
It's a history lesson for people watching. And I like that. I like the history lesson. So I think if you take the Knicks Atlantic Division titles and you just stick it on one banner and you include this NBA Cup, I don't think there's any harm or foul. You're not creating a new banner. You're not raising a new banner. You're just acknowledging an accomplishment, even if it's not the ultimate accomplishment.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. And I think as long as it lives up there, we can always point up and laugh.
But that... shut up. The Ranger banner for the regular season trophy that they won would have been better if they had won the cup that year. Then you have both banners up because it's like a step to winning the cup. If the Knicks win the title, I think you could put up, oh, they won the division, they won the NBA Cup. It was the road to winning a championship. Then nobody would scream and yell about it. You wait till the end of the season and you hang all the banners. Where the Rangers, they got eliminated, and then the next season they hung that thing as a consolation.
Now, here's the difference, though. Last, when the Rangers did that, they didn't, like, on opening night the next night, have this big reveal of the banner. It just kind of was up there. Are the Knicks going to have a moment here where, like, next year on opening day, if they don't win the NBA Finals, there they are, raising it to the rafters as Josh Hart eats some Mike and Ikes and pulls the rope up?
Well,
is it just going to appear up
there? No, but take a deep breath. The Knicks are going to do something this year. I think it's pretty much a lock that they haven't done. They're going to win the Atlantic, right? The division still exists as much as we don't pay attention to it.
The playoffs don't even pay attention to it.
I know, but there are banners at Madison Square Garden and Barclays Center for Atlantic Division Championships, which is my point.
Yeah.
Are they going to put that banner up? Well, based on the history, they will.
So put that up in one.
But wouldn't that also be the same thing that you're mocking? Like, if the Knicks lose in the Eastern Conference semis, or dare I say quarters, the banner's still going up, and you'd probably be bitter about it. Like, oh, we have this playoff flame out. Why are we honoring this? Well, that's what they do. That's what both teams do, in fairness.
What if they rattle off like four NBA Cup championships in a row, though? Shouldn't that be its own banner?
But the reason why I wouldn't is because winning a division is an actual thing. Most regular season wins, I understand they honor it in hockey. It's like a made-up thing. Come on. Like, that's a ridiculous thing. Like, that hockey is made up. Where winning a division in all across sports is something you honor and appreciate. The most regular season wins in hockey.
That's the President's Trophy. Come on. It's an actual trophy.
But
it's
a
real thing. You're dead wrong about that.
No, no, no. But hockey has created that. It's not across the board.
But hockey created it from its inception. They didn't parachute in with a... Commissioner,
I know
like
that, but it's a very much a hockey thing. So for the casual sports fan, they're like, why would they do that? Where every sport, you honor somebody that wins a division.
73% say, no, don't hang the banner. So there you go.
How do you think Joe feels?
As he said yesterday, he's actively rooting against the Knicks so they don't hang the banner.
The real question is, how does James Dolan feel about this? Because if there was ever going to be an owner that said, not in my building, I'm not doing this, it could be him.
Well, like, ultimately, it's up to James Dolan. It's up to how he wants to handle this. And really, I think you almost leave it up to the players and ask them, what do you want to do? Look, the weird thing about the Cup, and I'm watching it in terms of the first rounds where it was just regular season games everyone was involved in.
Can we stop calling it the Cup?
Well, it is the Cup. It's the NBA Cup, and I'm not paid by Emirates, so I'm not going to repeat their name.
The NBA Cup. There is only one the Cup in sports.
Okay, now I'm just going to call it the Cup over and over again.
You know I'm right. That's like calling LaDainian Tomlinson LT.
Oh, that's a good one. I used to call him LDT. Very good. In watching the NBA Cup games, there is more... oof in those games. No question. You saw with the Knicks trying to run up the scores, right? Which they had to do because it's part of tiebreaker. So obviously, if they didn't care, they wouldn't be running up the score.
Yeah.
It's not on the level of the playoffs, no doubt about that, but it is more than your typical regular season game.
But the league makes a mockery of
it. I'm not talking about the league, though. I'm literally talking about the players.
I get it, but it's so hard to watch a game and say the players get more oomph when you're staring at a cartoon character court the whole time.
That's fine. That's not my point. My point is about the players.
Okay.
If the players are putting more oomph in it, I would ask Jalen Brunson, the King of New York, and I would ask Karl Anthony Towns, and I would ask Mikal Bridges, if they accomplish this tonight, would you want that? I mean, leave it up to them. See what they say.
Well, and that's what's tricky about this. And, Tommy, I don't take this wrongly. There's a chance that this is the only championship this core wins.
Don't take that the wrong way.
How am I supposed to say that? To say, if you just slap a year on a division championship banner, those players may look back in 10 years and go, that whole run, that was our accomplishment. Okay. And maybe they would want the whole banner.
Now I know what's happening. I am in now the spider web of the coalition of
Nick. I have that reputation. I'm being serious.
No, it doesn't matter if you're being serious or not. It's something that you could say maybe in 5 or 6 years from now.
Sure.
But don't put the pin in it and say this could be the only championship they ever have.
Okay.
If they don't win a championship and the only championship they win, you got me going now, is the NBA Cup, then they better tear the banner down.
No, tear it down.
It's up there, get rid of it.
Tommy, to Evan's point, to ask the players what they want, don't you think a group of guys that has been this tight and everything like that, maybe they would prefer a whole banner up there because it does mean something to them. They went out to Vegas, they won this thing, and it's the only championship they have to show for their time here.
This thing? They won this thing?
Yeah. Okay, how would you call it? You're calling it the Cup. It's this
thing.
Well,
if you're going to say it's this great thing, don't call it this
thing. I'm not saying that. I'm talking from the player's point of view.
Buffalo, New York. It's Eric. It's the fan. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, I'm in the Buffalo area, as I told the guy just now. I was going to say, they got them all over the internet, but he asked me a question just now. Would you buy one? I go, no, I want a ring. I want a championship shirt. You know, I've been a Knicks fan since Bob McAdoo and all that stuff, and when he went to the Knicks.
Yeah.
You know? And
no, Eric, it's been a long time, 73. I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Love the Patrick Ewing years and all them guys. That's when I was, you know, playing sports more, and I'm getting older now. But those are great years, except for 1 year when OJ decided to become whatever. But I'll never forget that. Watching them in Houston and that game got taken off. But, you know, I'm in Buffalo, like I said, and I listen to WFAN 66, so I love this. I love it 24/7, you know, whenever I'm home, you know.
I appreciate
kind of disabled. And, you know, we have WGR 550 Buffalo. And, you know what, I just don't I'm a diehard Bills fan too. Don't get me wrong. I love Josh Allen. I hate what we didn't do nothing for him for the wide receiving area. It's a ridiculous what they did. You know, it's weird.
No,
I'm a
Knicks
fan. I'm a Braves fan when it comes to baseball. I mean, I love my Braves. I'm glad they won at least for me, for whoever the fans. But the thing I think, but I just like all your shows. I mean, sometimes I can't sleep at night. I'll listen to whoever, you know, that one guy. Sorry about it. I'm not getting old, like you said, the names. But,
yeah, I got you. Big fan. Eric, how long does winter last up in Buffalo? Like, when does it
right
begin?
Now it's thawing, but we'll get killed again, you know that.
Like, give me a range. When does it start? It starts, like, November and lasts until what, March?
I'd say, anywhere from November to April.
Oh, April.
Sometimes April, sometimes not. But right now it's all thawing out and it's kind of mucky up there. But we all know where that's just a little Indian summer or whatever, Indian winter, we'll call it. Native American in.
No, I got you, Eric. I got you. I mean, it's cold up there. I mean, it just is. But appreciate you listening to The Fan as much as you do. Jimmy and Dix Hills up next to The Fan. What's going on, Jimmy?
Hey, great show as always. Before my Mets point, I love when callers call and they're GMs and they say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you Cat and a bench player and you're going to give us a top five guy. You know, like, doesn't that sound good? You know, like, no, it sounds good to us, but it doesn't sound good to anybody else. But very rarely do callers call up and give you a deal. I don't even have one right now. And as far as the Mets go, you know, what did we do last year? We did nothing. Like, we needed changes. I'm going to stay and say, okay, I'm going to stick with Stearns. And let's see what he does. Like, I'm not giving up on Stearns, and I didn't want to give this guy the 5-year deal. And Diaz is a great player, was a great player. Who knows what the future holds for Diaz? And we've seen him blow up, too. So let's see what this guy can do. It's not over. This is spring training is next week. I think it's crazy that Mets fans are just so erratic, and they just say, like, us guys, small market. I think he's a smart guy. He knows what he's going to do. He knows
there's a lack of trust.
Well, what did we do last year? Terrible. Terribly. Right?
No,
we have
awful.
To make changes. Uncomfortable. We have to make uncomfortable changes.
Right, I understand that. But Jimmy, were the issues on the team last year, and I get they weren't a great situational hitting team, and I get all the changes that they made on the coaching staff. Was it a position player issue, or was it a pitching issue?
How was the polar bear the year before?
Yeah, he wasn't great, but he did hit. He did hit an amazing home run against Devin Williams in that playoff game, an elimination game against Milwaukee.
And I was there. It was probably one of the best games I've ever been to because of him. But you can't get caught up in past. You can't. Not if you're going to win. We haven't won in so long. And that's why, going back to the Knicks, I love what they're doing. I don't want to give up anything for Giannis right now. I mean, if this caller has the right plan, yeah, okay, of course I'm doing that. But let's stay the course. This guy only made one mistake so far, the GM for the Knicks. He overpaid for Bridges. But Bridges is still a nice player. Other than that, I trust that GM. I'm going to trust both GMs until I can't trust them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy, and I get it. I you're more of an optimistic. You want to see exactly when the painting's done. Then you'll judge the artist and see what the piece of artwork looks like and see if you want to hang it on, in your living room. But there are going to be Met fans, and this is what makes this city great, that are going to be reactionary to what is going on in the here and now. And I don't blame the Met fan for being upset. I don't blame the Met fan for having a lack of trust. I don't blame the Met fan to wanting to have Alonso being a part of it when this team does get to a World Series. Like, I get it. That comes along with it. He's a guy that you know, that you love, and has given you great, memorable moments over the course of, 6 years as a Met. Jay in Newark's up next to the Fan. What's going on, Jay?
Hi, Mark. I'm a big fan of your show. My message is for the Met fans.
Yeah.
Yo, Met fans, they got to relax for a second. David Stearns was hired to build a sustainable winner, not to panic buy every free agent in December, okay? He inherited a roster, a payroll mess, and an aging core. You don't fix that in one offseason. Let the man do his job. I mean, that's what he was hired to do.
Yeah, is Nimmo 38 and I missed it?
No, but I mean, I would understand if they want to go long-term with some younger core.
You know what I mean? That's the only logical explanation I could think
Well, he wants to, you know, I guess there were issues in the clubhouse when you look at Brandon Nimmo, and I guess Lindor. You know, Lindor did not give a congratulatory call to Juan Soto after he signed the $765 million deal. Welcome to the team. That created issues. There wasn't that warmth and love. You know, not everyone got along and saw eye to eye. See, you know, Jay, I look at last year's issues more as self-inflicted than anything else. Like, Montas was a terrible signing. That was a David Stern signing. And that was one, you know, the decision, you know, to, you know, the way, you know, Manaea regressed this upcoming year, dealing with injuries. You look at Kodai Senga, inability to go out there and stay healthy. The way that the staff was put together, the lack of depth when you're looking at the pitching rotation to deal with any sort of injuries whatsoever. The, you know, Hail Mary to call up all the youngsters that they did at the end of the year. The back end of the bullpen. You know, and the way that it performed, the guys that they brought in at the MLB trade deadline that clearly underperformed. So, like, you look at it, a lot of it or some of it was, you know, self-inflicted when you're looking at David Stern's vision. So Met fans are then going to look at it and say, well, am I necessarily going to lean into and buy into what David Stearns is doing now and say, yeah, you know what? This is going to be great. And you're a little bit, maybe you're optimistic. We've had a lot of Met fans and a couple now call up and say, you know what? I believe I'm going to give them time. Let's see exactly what the finished product is, but that's where the criticism comes along with it. Kyle Ringwood's up next to the fan. What's going on, Kyle?
Moose, how are you, bud?
I'm doing well, Kyle. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to change the subject here a little bit.
Yeah.
I got to go and talk about the Jets front office and what they're doing right now. We don't need to trade our picks wherever they land in the draft, right? So why would we trade up multiple first-round draft picks that we own to get Fernando Mendoza, right? So this guy might just sit on the bench, but the first year, what we need to do and what we need to do right now is trade for Joe Milton. I sent this past BT the other day.
Joe Milton?
Yeah, get him off the Cowboys. The guy can throw 100 yards.
Yeah.
The guy can run.
So could Kyle Bowler.
You got an offensive line. You still have Breece Hall. You need a quarterback for Garrett Wilson that can throw the ball. And we keep our draft picks. A lot of people don't understand that the Jets hold so many picks over the next 2 years. And this year alone, there are so many defensive players that can make changes for the Jets' defense.
Right. So can I ask you a question? Why wasn't Milton successful at Michigan?
Probably not right coordinator. I mean, we're talking athletic.
Really? Why wasn't he like this end-all be-all at Tennessee?
Look, I'm just trying to get quarterbacks on the team to get, you know, the right players that we have our draft picks for. Right, you can have everything on the bench, right? You got Joe Milton, you got Brady Cook, Tyrod's gonna go.
Yeah, those are not answers. Tyrod's an answer to a backup quarterback. Brady Cook's not an answer, neither is Joe Milton.
You don't think?
I know, I don't. I don't think.
At the 18th, let's say wherever the Colts fall to, we can't draft Diego Pavia, who is a Baker Mayfield-esque I want to win type quarterback.
Yeah, I think Poppy is a good college quarterback. I don't know if he's a good NFL quarterback.
I mean,
and he embarrassed himself after the comments he made after he lost down the Heisman as well, and then quickly apologized and walked him back.
Well, I mean, come on, kids make mistakes.
No, kids do. Right? Kyle, we get Joe Milton is athletically gifted, as is Justin Fields. I told you at the time when the Jets said, you know, and Jet fans were goo goo gaga, dual threat quarterback and Justin Fields, and the Jets were, you know, going to tell you that, you know, he's going to turn a corner. He's a tantalizing talent. I mean, Justin Fields is remarkably gifted athletically. He's not a quarterback. Yeah. I mean, he's not an NFL quarterback. He might have been a five-star recruit, and he was coming out of high school, went to Georgia, went to Ohio State, good enough to play in college. There's a different level playing in the National Football League. And when the game does not slow down and you can't look at secondary and tertiary wide receivers and you can't go through it and have, you know, don't have an under and have a tendency to just hold the ball, hold the ball, hold the ball, as Justin Fields did, you know, it's not sustainable. And there was no turning point. So the Jets took a shot, and I agree. Now, you want to say, well, go get Joe Milton. Like, I don't think that's an answer to anything the Jets are looking for. Joe Milton can go out there, and he's a ridiculous athlete. Joe Milton could throw the ball probably 95 yards in the air. Doesn't mean that he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. I'm not saying he can't be a backup quarterback, but the reason why the Jets would move draft choices conceivably to go get Mendoza out of Indiana would be if they deem him to be a franchise quarterback. Because none of those guys that you mentioned are franchise quarterbacks. Taylor's a backup. I like him as a backup, but he's a backup. But the problem with Tyrod Taylor is he doesn't stay healthy. Joe Milton's a backup. Brady Cook, I have no idea what he is. So that would be the understanding when you're looking at, you know, I'm going to give up draft capital because I'm going to go out there and resolve and get my franchise quarterback and get an answer to the most important position in professional sports. Let's head out to East Meadow. It's Chris. It's the fan. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, guys? First time caller, long time listener.
Oh, welcome aboard.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I would like to talk about the Mets. And about 2 years ago, without Juan Soto, they went to the playoffs because they had an all-around better lineup with Pete. Now, last year, they had Pete and Juan Soto, and they tanked. What makes this upcoming year different than 2 years ago? If we just have Juan Soto and no more Pete, it goes back to 2 years ago if we have a better lineup with better pitching, which means I think we could go farther if Stearns and Cohen get all this together.
Well, what version of Mark Vientos am I getting?
Ooh. Oof. Good question. Good question.
Like, am I getting Mark Vientos from 2 years ago, or am I getting Mark Vientos from this past year?
I'm praying we get Mark Vientos from 2 years ago.
Yeah, where Mark Vientos looked like a young power hitter, hit big time pitching, had clutch moments, all of those things, where he looked like a burgeoning star in Major League Baseball. And then this past year, he fell flat on his face.
Who said Brett Beatty can't be that guy this year?
And maybe he can. I mean, Chris, I mean, that's where the gamble is. I mean, I've seen
Alvarez,
it. But here's
Alvarez,
the thing with Vientos 80. Is, like, you've seen it, like, to that level.
Yes.
Like, Vientos, like, that was special, what he did in those playoffs. It really was. Like, it was where you counted him as being a solution, and then this past year was nothing of the sort. You know, Beatty improved. He wasn't to the level that Vientos was during that run to the NLCS. But yeah, I mean, I'm not telling you that the Mets are going to stink in 2026. I want to take a wait and see approach. I'm just telling you that the loss of Diaz surprised me. The loss of Alonso did not.
He said something to me that scared me about sports.
Uh-oh.
And it was in the break. And I don't even think you know what you said or what it means. You go to me, you're looking over the box score of the Knicks last night.
Yeah.
And you go, this is their year. And I said, don't do that. Don't do it. You hit me on December 19th that it's the Knicks year. Now, when you say it's the Knicks year, that means to me that they're winning a championship. And
or they're going to make it to the finals.
Now we're going to go back to the make it to the finals?
I think
not their year then.
No, listen, when you make it to the finals, anything can happen. So it could be, you know, that's how you top off the year.
I mean, this is
they won a game last night. I know Indiana's not great or anything like that, but, you know, they purposely sat down guys because of the intensity of the Cup championship game.
Wow.
And they still won. And the thing that you love, what I love about it, yeah, okay, Jalen did his thing at the end of the game, and that's the money guy. That's our money guy, and we love that. But I love the fact that you can play with other guys that, you know, like a Tyler Kolek and also a Jordan Clarkson that can come off the bench. And even like when they won the game against the San Antonio Spurs out there in Vegas, Jalen Brunson pointed out those guys and how Jordan Clarkson came off the bench and hit two threes to change the whole momentum of the game against the Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, you are the bastion of all things touch the money, and I'll bring things to you. But I am going to declare that this is very close to touching the money.
It's close. It's close, but it's not. I didn't say they're going to win championship. I just said I feel like it's this. It's kind of like their year. Like the wind is behind them. Like I keep telling you that.
Couching. They're couching now.
And I feel like it.
Couching.
I feel like it's worthy of watching every game. What can I tell you?
Yeah, that. Okay.
There was a point in time where, you know, not that long ago that I could give two craps about.
I know exactly what you mean.
What they were doing. And now all of a sudden, likable team, good group of guys. The coach seems to have worked out, which we were all wondering what this was going to look like. And now they go out and they get a couple key pieces in the offseason. Those key pieces are all paying off. And Tyler Kolek's getting better and better and better and better. And that kid can shoot.
There's just something about declaring like this is their year always stay away from. Like when I hear that, I'm like, oh, that's basically saying like this, they're going to be that team where everything works out for them. They're going to be healthy and things are going to break right and all of these things. And it just takes so much in each one of these leagues to win a championship. And it's so like I wouldn't be able to say this is their year until I saw them like dominate a playoff series.
Yeah, I'm just going by what I'm seeing.
I know. You're positive about it, which is good.
They're on this amazing run. And I was telling you yesterday, this reminds me of the run when they first traded for OG.
Mm-hmm.
And he got here, and then all of a sudden, Julius Randle got hurt. And then it was up and down after that. They're on a great run right now. They're right in the middle of it. And it all has to do with putting Josh Hart in the starting five. And even though he didn't play last night, they still won against a really bad team. But you know what? That's a nemesis team that, you know, you got to beat those people.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm not in nemesis spot, regardless of where they're at with their franchise, 100%. But I don't want to get there yet emotionally because expectations are the thief of joy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.